Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Got another dude!
Hey! What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Dudes to the right, dudes to the left, stuck in the middle with you.
Got another dude!
Heisman Trophy, Bronco Nagurski Award. Ultimate dudes.
Got another dude.
O-line U, bunch of dudes.
Lot of dudes.
Yeah! Another dude in the house.
Yeah. Welcome to the Lot of Dudes podcast, special edition, Bowl Week. Hey, Matt, why does a Hawkeyes fan pour his cereal on a plate?
Why is that, Matt?
He lost his bowls.
Oh.
So that's one I got from the internet.
Okay.
Santa left the Eagles a big present under the tree on Selection Sunday as Bama snuck into the playoff, setting off a chain reaction that, against all odds, put the Eagles in the Pinstripe Bowl against Iowa on December 27th in the Big Apple. On today's episode, we'll break down the Hawkeyes, bring back Dude Apood, and discuss Jim Christian and the basketball team shutting me up big time. Matt?
Yeah, that's. I think you just about nailed it. Santa definitely left us a nice present. This was a very exciting surprise to get called back to New York City. I think everyone in the week leading up to Selection Sunday was saying, you know, basically worst case bowls of pre-Christmas and Tampa against FAU. There was some other one I think down south, both pre-Christmas, which was not going to be very enjoyable, but saved by Alabama getting to the college football playoffs. We'll have to talk about that in a little bit, whether
yeah.
It was the right call. It was just ironic because, you know, the Iowa win over Ohio State, you know, obviously played a big role in knocking them out. And now obviously we see Iowa in the game. So full circle.
It sure is, Matt. Is it so tonight, Florida Atlantic and Akron are playing in the, I don't know what bowl, is this the bowl that we would have been in?
Is it Gasparilla? Because that's the
I
one
think
we would
it
have
is.
Been in.
Yeah,
you know what?
It was
going to be Gasparilla or Birmingham.
Right. So this one's in Boca Raton, right? So that was one of them. And by the way, this is kind of a qualm for another time because it ended up working out in our favor. But why was it just decided that we were going to fall out of the ACC? It was a foregone conclusion. Like Florida State is a shit team this year. They lost their coach. But no, let's bring Florida State because they have a bunch of fans that I guess travel and all that. I understand that part of it, but why is BC always getting the short end of the stick?
Well, and also, by the way, Florida State, I mean, if you saw their last couple home games, especially the game they had on championship weekend, there were like 20 fans there. Like,
right.
Yeah, historically they have a huge fan base, but people are so down on this team, especially losing Jimbo. They're not exactly going to be a massive draw unless it's in their backyard. I think, quite honestly, a big reason we get hurt is proximity. So, they would rather in the Sun Bowl. That's a higher tier bowl. I guess the Military Bowl. They'd rather take a Virginia if it's going to be kind of an equally bad team in their minds. They'd rather at least have more of a proximity. But I agree. I don't think it's right. But the pinstripe tickets are flying off the shelves. I think we've sold out a few of our sections. We have ours. What do I think we have? I think we have 13 or so in a group. They just arrived the other day. So I think we're gonna have a nice little home field advantage. It sounds like the Iowa fans are not that excited and their tickets are not moving that well.
No, and it sounds like, and it's, I get it, if you're from Iowa, right, it's kind of tough to justify it, because it really has to be a full-on trip to New York, and you got to pay for hotels, and it's a whole production. I think they all wanted the Music City, right, because
that's closer
to them. And,
and I think every projection basically had them going there. It's drivable. Obviously, it's cheaper. A lot of them already booked hotels. And look, New York's an expensive city, especially around Christmas time, and I don't know much about, economics of Iowa, but I would imagine the cost of living is lower there than it is on the East Coast. So I think that's definitely a tough trip for them to make. And then plus the cold weather. I don't know how warm Nashville is, but it is going to be very cold, as we'll get into it a bit, which will be uncomfortable for the casual fan.
Yeah, 100%. Matt, just real quick here, I just want to get this off my chest before we get into football talk. Obviously, unless you've been living under a rock, the BC basketball team came out of nowhere and knocked off Duke. And I just want to just publicly apologize for everything I've said bad about them. I want back on the bandwagon. They're fun to watch. I absolutely love Bowman. Chapman, I don't think has ever missed a shot that I've seen. Matt, can I get back on the bandwagon? All the bad things I said about Jim Christian, I take back. Let me back on.
Yeah, I think that was a thorough apology. It is funny because the shoe is on the other foot. I think obviously I was not nearly as negative, I think, as you were on Football Player of the Year. I was never outright rooting for them to lose like I think some of us think you are.
Well, that was out of context. That was out of context.
Fake Baldwin over here. So I think that was, you know, you definitely ate your humble pie, and I think I would definitely welcome you back on, and you're coming in at the right time.
So just one other point on that. It really hit home for me when I saw BC in Joe Lenardi's top 68 or whatever it was, the bracketology.
Yeah.
I just can't – this, you know, I've been waiting for them to make the tournament since, what, we were seniors in high school, and they lost in the first round to USC, I think it was.
Killed, yeah. There was USC, and it was really and never
they,
close.
So they didn't make it in our 4 years. They haven't made it since then. And so – I've always been a huge fan, but I picked this year to kind of go all in against the team. And if this is the year we make the tournament,
maybe that's the secret.
I couldn't live with it, so I'm back on. I apologize. Let's just shoot threes. I don't want to see a 2-point attempt the rest of the way. We should play five guards and Mitchell, whatever he is. I'm still kind of learning the guys' names and all that, Matt. But I'm going to get up to speed quickly here. But no, 100%. Watching them storm the court was awesome and just absolute electric atmosphere. Just out of nowhere, too. No one saw that one coming.
Yeah, so the only thing I'll say on the Lenardi stuff is, unfortunately, it sounds like that's a technicality that we're in.
Right.
All of his...
Because we're ACC champs.
They automatically take the first place in the ACC, which, again, shout out, little dude of the episode, BC being ACC leaders for, I guess it's been like 10 days now, which is nice. But, it was just a tremendous performance against Duke. I think... You know, and people, a lot of people had them penciled in as a potential bubble team, you know, with Hawkins. That was a huge addition. Obviously, him going out sucked. But look, we're sitting at 9-3 right now. Those three losses are not horrible. It's Texas Tech, who's a good team, a tournament team. Nebraska,
well,
who's right around us at the RPI. That one's not great.
And let me cut in here.
Who's, yeah.
We don't have any other at all quality wins outside of Duke, right? I mean, those are three winnable games, and we lost them all by a lot, right? So that's the only reason I'm not fully
Nebraska,
on board.
Nebraska and Providence. Actually, really, all three of those were games that, you know, were kind of toss-up games.
Did we lose by 20 to all three of them?
No, definitely not. And if the scoreline did get out of hand at the end, they were close to within, you know, 5 minutes left. I think Nebraska, they were down one with like 5 minutes left. Texas Tech, they were right there.
You sound like me defending Daz. This is incredible.
Well, I do, but, you know, no, I mean, but they were right there. And, you know, I think the Duke win shows that they can close out. So from what I've seen, so they obviously have one more non-conference game left. I think it's another cupcake. Richmond,
Spiders.
Who beat us last year, but they're actually having a pretty down year. So that should be a win.
You know what, Matt? They invest on the guys on the bench that do the tricks after a shot gets
made.
That's true. They do the choreography. So that's what happens. I mean, I hope we win by 40 because that stuff that got old for me after a while. It was the first one was funny, but then it was like every day on SportsCenter a new Richmond trick. It's like, hey, why don't you guys practice your free throws instead? So.
Yeah, no, I'm 1,000% with you there. So I think, you know, we get that win, and then if we go 2-1 to start the ACC, which is doable because we play Virginia, probably a loss, but then we have two, you know, kind of toss up games. I don't know what they have off the top of my head, but that would put us at what 12-4 with three ACC wins. I mean, that's I think at least getting votes in the top 25, which would be a tremendous change from obviously what we've seen over the last 8 years.
Only thing to add here, just going forward, that game plan obviously worked. And everyone's saying Duke is horrible defensively, and that's probably true. Why are we not just converting 100% to three-ball offense? Why don't we play four guards and is it Mitchell? Is that the guy the lockdown defender?
Yes, yeah, freshman.
Why don't we play four guards? We'll have Bowman, Robinson, Chapman, I don't know, Vin Baker Jr., and then Mitchell, and then – That's our lineup. Popovich, I've never seen anyone look more scared.
Everyone said he's coming around on Pop.
He had a better second half, but I've never seen anyone play that scared against Bagley, which I guess is somewhat defensible. But he looked terrible out there for the first 10 minutes specifically. So just based off that sample, I don't know that I want him in the rotation. And our bigs in general, Reyes is terrible. I don't know. I think they got to just switch to the Villanova game plan and just start jacking up threes, let Bowman take over the game. When Robinson, you know, wants to play well, he can. But, I mean, the other thing is our fan base needs to figure it out.
We
couldn't sell out Duke, and then everyone started showing up at halftime, right? Everyone texts their buddies. It's like, hey,
our senior year?
Well, it's. I mean, not much has changed since we left.
This game sold out a week in advance.
Did it look full the first half,
yeah.
Matt?
No, yes, it absolutely did.
Well, Matt, you're taking away my whole narrative here. I have this written down. I didn't think it looked that full, but then you saw people. Well, and it happened when we were there too, right? So
that was bad. That was literally there were like 10.
It was empty. And then
10 minutes to go, it got flooded. Obviously, they jinxed it. I think the only thing that's a little disappointing about the way the schedule lines up, and obviously it's so nice to just get this win right out of the way, but to then have to follow it up with, you know, three cupcakes, you would love to get another, you know, even mid-tier ACC team in there next to keep the momentum going. Look, the reality is that we could be, you know, a top 10 team, and it's still going to be hard to get out fans for Central Connecticut on a, you know, Saturday afternoon. So it would have been nice to keep the momentum going. I hope that it does. I hope that the students are reflective of, hey, we got to – three loss team with a win over Duke, and you know, we're playing some ACC schools.
Yeah.
They mentioned, I mean, Bowman and the guys mentioned in the press conference, you know, how much they fuel off students, as you know, college basketball is built off of, you know, student and atmosphere like that. So, that's something that I would hope to see. It's a weapon, you know, as bad of an arena as Conte is, it's a little small, can get loud when it's packed. So that's something we definitely want to use to our advantage.
100%.
So I guess I'll wrap it up with BC basketball in general, what they've done over the past since really we last, you know, had an episode. They're definitely a dude, and I kind of want to get that up front.
They're pooed for me, Matt, actually.
Oh, you're gonna get into that.
Well,
yeah, I was gonna say I also have a dude. I have my own dude or pooed, you know, irrespective to that, as well as dude of the week. So why don't you go ahead and keep BC basketball in your pooed? I'd love to hear this spin zone.
It's not really that good of a spin zone here. It's just when I saw all those guys rushing the court, it just made me think, man, that must have been great to be a student during a big time win like that. And we had nothing like that. We didn't have USC. USC was a couple of years after us.
Horrible.
The Syracuse win was 2 years after us. I think when both those 2014. Right? Oh, that was on the road.
Yeah, Syracuse on the road, and I think that was 2014 also. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So double wrong there. But yeah, and then. You know, before that, they had a big win over Duke. That's actually hanging in my living room, the picture of
senior,
you know,
year, yeah, senior year high school. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Which, so we kind of just missed everything. But I don't know, just to think how cool that experience must have been with them turning the lights off and everything. I mean,
which I love, by the way. I do want to mini pood.
Incredible.
Mini pood is the general public being like, what is BC administration doing shutting the lights off? Buddy, those are it's like our hockey. Goal celebration. When they score the goal, they shut the lights off. They do a spotlight around the arena. Clearly, that's what they did here. It looks sick. It was like a wild atmosphere. But I completely agree with everything you said. To go 4 years in you know, an ACC school without rushing the court once, without rushing the field once.
Well, Matt, let me correct you. NC State. Remember NC State? That wasn't during our 4 years.
That was
either.
1 year. Yep, that was first year out.
That was as close as we got to storming the field.
That was as close as we got. We finally got back to a bowl. We got back to a bowl after being horrible. You know, the last terrible 2 years of Spaz. So yeah, didn't rush the court, didn't rush the field, didn't make the NCAA tournament, didn't win a bowl game.
Yep.
But great, we had two hockey championships. So that's all that matters.
And we always joke about this, but how many hockey championships would you throw away for, you know, a Sweet 16 appearance during our time?
I would give up our entire final four, right? I honestly think I would even go Sweet 16. Definitely Elite Eight. I would give up the entire
Elite Eight. Definitely.
I would fold the program tomorrow for a single Elite Eight appearance or a BCS Bowl appearance in our 4 years. So yeah, no, I just like I say all the time, the reason that BC has such good college hockey fans is because it's a crutch, because we suck at everything else, but like we want to be good. So it's like, oh well, you know, I don't really care about football or basketball because our hockey team is awesome. We pack Connie every Friday night. So you know, it's a little bit annoying, and I think that. It's much easier to do well there when there's only like five teams that compete. But, you know, with that said, love what Jerry and the boys are doing. And obviously I'll be there to root them on come March when, you know, in trophy season, I'll probably watch the Beanpot. That's about
exactly. Let us know when the Beanpot starts and when hockey is the playoff starts and the Frozen Flame. We'll see you then. I mean, that's what it is with hockey. I agree 100%. I would maybe keep one of them, but, you know, give the rest of them away for any measure of success, especially recent success for football or basketball. So that's my pood. You know, it would have been cool to have any type of you know, cool athletic fanhood experience. But that's all right. I think with Daz, we get a lot more to come. So,
sure do.
Looking forward to those.
The sky is as bright as ever right now with Daz and Christian. I mean, this is going to be the new.
With Daz, let's not extend Christian another okay. six,
yeah,
six
I mean,
years
it's
again
be, it's,
yet.
It's going to be the Billy Donovan, Urban Meyer of Florida, you know, when Daz is offensive coordinator there. I'm feeling good. All right, so I'm going to just do – I got two more little basketball small things. So a dude and dude of the week. My dude of the week is this guy who hit the 94-foot putt at the BC basketball game. I think it was the Columbia game. It was one of the ones after the Duke game, but it was a mid-game promo, and he putted a ball from one base – a golf ball from one baseline to the other into what essentially was a toilet paper tube. I physically can't imagine how difficult, impossible, improbable,
Matt,
whatever it is.
Can I cut
I
you
mean,
off?
That is so hard. I'd love
it's,
to hear it.
It's really not that difficult.
Oh, sure. Okay. To go on hardwood, by the way. You're not on a slow
hardwood,
green.
That's what I'm saying. Hardwood, I mean, it's not like there was, you know, any type of slope to it. It's a hardwood floor. As long as you can putt straight, it should be an easy putt. I mean, if you think about it, it's just you hit the ball straight and it travels straight. You don't have to worry about speed. All you do is line up the line of the putter to the middle of the ball, and I'm a good putter, so maybe that's just different for me. I know you're not so good short game wise, but sorry to cut you off. Were you saying that was impressive?
Yeah, well, I was, and what I'm actually going to do is we're going to take our sponsorship checks that come in. We're going to rent out a basketball court for literally 12 hours and let you try to hit that putt for 12 straight hours, because I guarantee you won't be able to do that. That is an incredibly impressive feat. That is such a bad take by you, just because you worked at a pro shop for a few years. You think you're, you know, whatever, Phil Mickelson draining 94-foot bombs. But
in fact, I used to do that all the time in the pro shop. You set up, you know, like a cup on the other side of the room, and you putt all day because you get nothing else to do but answer the phones and sell some merch. So that's what maybe that's my experience, and you don't
that's
have
a,
that
Matt, that's,
practice.
That's a pretty impressive pro shop. You could fit
a
whole basketball court in there.
I would
that's
make
huge.
9 out of 10 of those putts.
That's amazing. You could fit a whole basketball court in your pro shop. That's a ton of merch you had to move.
Yeah. So why don't you keep going here? I don't have anything else on this topic.
Well, due to the week, that guy was awesome. Bad job by BC for only making the gift $1,000 of Under Armour gear. That should have been like a free semester, or at least, I don't know, something more than that. And then my other dude would be us for breaking recruiting news. Those of you who follow us on Twitter, on Saturday night, we released some major breaking news that
did that turn out to be true?
Well, not well. We're gonna get there. But okay. Jarius Hamilton, who is a huge recruit. I mean, this would be the biggest get we've had in I mean, honestly, a decade probably. He's got offers from Maryland, UNC, Duke. We have breaking news. We're officially going to call it. He is going to commit to BC. We have some inside sources who are giving us some information, and we feel confident enough, or I should say bold enough to make that call. So no confirmation yet. And every day that goes by, I get a little bit more nervous, but if this ends up breaking and we were the first ones to call it, I mean, it'd be like the first people landing on the moon, honestly.
Yeah. And the good news about having a, medium like we have is, nothing bad can happen from just breaking news like this. It could be completely wrong. I think it probably will be if I know us.
No downside. Absolutely no downside.
Our source stinks. Our source is really bad, but it could
be
true.
By the way, our source is not thrilled when we
specifically
tweeted it, because
told
he
us
yeah.
not to tweet it. And we
he wasn't confident enough, but whatever. You know, it's, you got to take a risk if you want to get your name out there.
Yeah, worst
so,
case
I think
we
it
get
was
sued.
It.
And there's nothing wrong with getting to our up and coming blog. So, you know, no such thing as bad publicity there. So, Jairus, is that how you say it?
I spelled it Jarius, but I think it's Jairus.
I think it's
Jairus.
Jairus, if you're listening, either way, we're going to be fine. We'd love to have you as an Eagle, though.
By the way, if Jairus is listening, that's great news for us. I can't imagine he's listening to Fourth and Dude if he's going to be committing to Maryland or UNC.
Shoot us a DM either way, Jairus, and we'll break whatever school you're actually going to as well. We'll break it twice. Not worried about
that. That'd be awesome. let's go ahead with your dude.
Right. My dude. Let me check the list here, Matt. My dude is going to be – oh, this is football. Is it football time?
I'm going back to football on mine, too. Let's go.
All right. Let's talk some football. So it's going to be Daz, but more importantly, it's going to be the move that Daz made in signing Coach Anthony Campanelli. Defensive backs coach.
Good
so
one.
He just won the defensive back coach of the year, which is, you know, a pretty huge honor when you think about all the programs that are out there. You know, he's beaten the Bama coaches and Ohio State coaches and all the other top programs. He is the best defensive back coach in the country. And it's only his second year doing it. I mean, he's new to the college scene relatively. I think he was bigger in the New Jersey high school scene. He's obviously very well connected. He's already produced in a huge way recruiting wise. I think four of our best players. We get two linebackers, a safety, and then a quarterback. All those guys are three stars. They're probably our best recruits coming in next year. All those because of Coach C just, you know, absolutely locking down the Jersey scene. And I'm a Jersey guy, so I know a little bit about that.
You are a Jersey guy, yep.
And we said it coming in, too. We said we knew the secondary was going to be good. That was where the most experience was. They played well last year.
How about that, by the way? Dude, us for calling that.
That was probably the one unit we predicted correctly, right?
We got that every was single other thing wrong. We said Darius Wade's going to win the Heisman. Our running game's going to suck.
Tommy Sweeney would be Heisman runner-up, I think. Yeah. He caught four
But our secondary is going to lock it down. No worries.
So we nailed that one. You know, in all seriousness, we do have probably the best secondary or, you know, top 10 secondary in the country. Iowa has a pretty good one too. More on that later. You know, obviously Lucas Dennis leads the country in picks. We're, I think as a team, we're number five in the country in picks. If you're Coach Dass, you got to pay him whatever he wants, make him D coordinator, do whatever you have to do to keep him. Both for recruiting, and turns out, you know, he's actually a pretty darn good coach too.
Well, speaking of that, you got to give some credit to the guys who just got, you know, named to all the all ACC teams, all America teams, and most recently the Senior Bowl.
Senior Bowl.
We got three two defensive backs got named, Cam and Isaac, I think. Isaac Guyton, I think, got in, and then we have a third guy going. I forget who that is. Off the top
Will
of
Harris.
I don't know. Will Harris, right? So yeah, I mean, it's just a tremendous job by Campanelli. I will say there is a part of me, a selfish part of me, that does not like when assistant coaches get recognition, because all it means is that they're more apt to leave the program.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, it's going to be hard to keep him in his current position. He is certainly a rising star in the industry, and I'm sure we'll be on to bigger and better things, whether that's, you know, something like a D coordinator at BC or, you know, a big job elsewhere. So, yeah, definitely congrats to Coach C. I think that's a well-deserved dude.
And last point on this. So he was at Rutgers. He played at Rutgers, and then he was assistant coach at Rutgers for a few years. And then they had a coaching change, and they let him go, which was so dumb. I mean, his brother is the coach at Bergen Catholic. He's very well connected to all New Jersey high school, you know, big-time football programs. He's tight with Toll's dad, who's was that Don Bosco. I don't know. All the Jersey schools are obviously football powerhouses. You know, no brainer for him to sign on a BC. And I'll tell you what, I mean, obviously love the job Jim Reed's been doing, but make him D coordinate. I don't care, man. He's an up and comer, and he's going to leave otherwise. So
yeah,
1,000%. But dude, yeah,
we
week,
said the same thing. We said the same thing with the guy last year. Went off to Cincinnati, right?
Al Washington.
Yeah. Well, only other note on Campanelli, I'm pretty sure, and this just could be me being stupid and just saying, you know, all white guys with beards look alike, but I'm pretty sure Campanelli is the same person as Ricky Brown, our special teams coordinator.
Yeah,
so,
usually I agree with you. That one's wrong. That one is wrong. I did some research this morning, so I know they're wrong. But yeah, no, good point there. Hey, Ricky Brown, actually, he's an actor. He was in a movie that didn't do too well.
Okay.
But he had a job as an actor. I think it's the same Ricky Brown. I was Googling him a couple
Ricky
weeks
Brown
ago.
Seems like it could be a common name, to be honest.
Yeah, so don't quote me on that either.
Don't quote you on that. All right, I'm going to roll into my poot, keep it on the football talk now that we are in the football portion of the show. So my big poot here is BC shaming. So this is going to take a couple forms. So I may have mentioned this last episode, but we saw it with the Miami fans to kind of shut up the Florida State fans talking trash during the ACC championship game. Obviously, they were making fun of Miami for being so embarrassing, and Miami came back with, well, at least we didn't lose to Boston College by 32. We also saw it from Ohio State fans discrediting Bama's win over Florida State to try to kind of knock Alabama down a little bit. They were saying, well, Florida State, yeah, great, you beat them, but they lost to Boston College. And now we're saying it from people, from fan bases upset that Duke is ranked ahead of them in basketball. They're saying, you know, how is Duke, you know, still top five? They lost to Boston College. And then lastly, you're seeing it from kind of a lot of the general sports writers previewing this game that we'll get into in a little bit. But they're saying, oh, great, Boston College and Iowa. There'll be, you know, 50 total yards of offense, 100 punts in a 3-0 game. Clearly,
that's a compliment, Matt. Ever heard of Smash Mouth football? That's how we want to play. That's the Boston College Coach Adazio way, man. I love that.
That's not the Leffler way, and I like that. I like the Lefty-Leffler way better. But clearly these people have not watched any Boston College athletics over the past 6 months. Look, I get it. We have been an absolute abomination. 2 years ago was the lowest point in modern college athletics history. But let's focus a little bit on the now. We have someone who's going to win the Heisman Trophy next year. Actually, that's another thing to throw in. Dylan is not on like a single 2018 watch list. They got the Florida State running back who
Cam Akers, who sucks.
Right. He's a fine running back, but Dylan embarrassed him. Now, not even statistically throughout the year on the night they played, he's on every list. But Dylan can't get any love. So just add that to the list. I'm just sick and tired of it. And it is going to make it so much more rewarding next year when we're sitting on top of all of college football and all of college basketball at the same time. But it is just so goddamn frustrating. I don't know what this team has to do. This team's worked so hard. They've had such a good year. And just consistently, we just get shafted by the national media. And I am sick and tired of it.
Agreed. I have nothing to add. 1,000%. The only way to fix it, obviously, is to just keep winning. You got to cultivate a winning tradition in order for it to get some respect. We had it in the late 2000s. We obviously don't have it now. We will under Daz. We just, keep the ship moving and, we beat Iowa. That's the start, and then keep the momentum going. Basketball is still a giant question mark. So it's every time.
What BC the hell? I thought you were back on the bandwagon.
Every time BC beats Duke, you're gonna get that reaction. But football? I mean, come on, man. The last six games. You can't compare.
I got you for 21 minutes on the bandwagon.
You can't compare basketball to football right now. All right. So I'm still taking Daz over if I have to make a choice.
Oh really? No way.
Well, yeah. Well,
wow.
You just let me finish my point, Matt.
You're taking Daz? Well, that's incredible.
I don't even know where I was going with that. But basically, Matt, it's still BC. It's still Jim Christian. It's a fluke win because we don't have any other good wins. So you're going to get that reaction. Football, you got to turn on the TV. You got to see, Dylan's just absolutely tearing it up. We scored 35 plus points, I think the last eight games outside of NC State. So those people, obviously Iowa's get a good day, but those people that are saying that are just—they're not college football fans. They're just BC haters. They didn't get in. Whatever. Who knows? But in order to turn that around, you just got to keep winning.
Yeah, no, I agree. So we're running a little long, and I want to make sure we have plenty of Iowa talk. But I do want to just quickly do a duteous corpus for the playoff prediction. So we have Bama and Clemson in New Orleans, and we have Georgia and Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl. Really quick, let's get your picks for those two games and then the national championship.
I got Clemson over Oklahoma in an awesome, awesome championship game.
Wow, I'm right there with you. I think I'm giving Clemson a little ACC bias. Bama scares me, especially in New Orleans. It's going to be a home game for them. Obviously, they travel probably a little better than Clemson. And then again, I'm with you. I think Oklahoma is a much better team than Georgia. Baker Mayfield will be handing the Heisman to AJ Dillon next year, which will be cool. But overall, I'm actually pretty excited for those two games. I think they're going to be worth the money.
Correction, the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl, which is what BC was supposed to be in, is actually Thursday. Temple, Florida Atlantic. Florida International.
That's really too bad we missed that. All right, let's roll into Iowa here. I've got a really good fun fact, and I don't think you're going to steal it, so I will defer to you to go first.
I have two of them, actually, Matt. I'll start with this one. Hogs outnumber humans 4-1 in Iowa.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah. So that one, I didn't have a good source on. It was on a website. I wasn't necessarily using it in a paper, but I think that I buy it, right? There's a lot of hogs.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's 1,000%.
A lot of land, right? So,
yep.
Okay.
No, I'm right there with you.
So it's actually a law in Iowa City. A man with a mustache is not allowed to kiss a woman in public in Iowa City.
Interesting.
Same website. Take those with a grain of salt there.
All right. Let's hope Audie doesn't travel to the game. That would be if we ever play at Iowa. That'd be too bad for him. That's a good rule, though. I think that's a no harm, no foul. I like my fun fact. I feel pretty good about this one. 79% of the state of Iowa's dentists went to the University of Iowa. I mean, I guess they're not going to like outsource them from anywhere else, and maybe Iowa State just doesn't do dentists, but that's like really high. That seems like a crazy high number. I'm shocked when I saw that number, that they control 80% of the dentists in the state. I don't know why that was so interesting to me, but that is also a legitimate fact. It was from the University of Iowa website, so
yeah, man,
maybe a little more reliable.
You're going to find that out there where there's only a couple universities. You're used to Boston where you have 100 colleges, right? Everyone's from everywhere. But
that's true.
I think when you go out there, it's, yeah, did you go to State? Did you go to U? Yep. That is what it is. But yeah, good one anyway.
Thanks, man.
There was a joke about Iowa. I'm not gonna have it here, Matt. But it was about teeth.
You used it. You already used it with the Bulls. They lost their Bulls.
I'm not gonna find. Well, yeah, but it was one that I didn't use. It was about, hey, you know what a good pickup line is in Iowa? Nice tooth, because they only have
Hang
one
on a
teeth.
Sec. Can we? So about the Bulls joke, I want to just kind of go back to that quickly because I don't think you spent enough time on that.
Yeah, that was bad, huh?
So is that? That's not like specific to Iowa, right?
Yeah,
that's just someone you're gonna play in a bowl.
No, that was an Iowa. Jokes about Iowa University website.
Because they always lose in bowl games or something?
Yeah, they've lost five straight. Did you not do any homework?
I didn't know it was five straight.
Yeah, so that's kind of the joke. It's not my best work, I know, but it was from a website, and that's where I got it from.
Got it. All right, no, that actually plays a lot better then. Okay. That changes my opinion of that joke.
Okay, all right. I'm glad to hear that here.
Good.
All right, what is up next?
Let's do some alumni. This is a good list. I'm pretty happy with what they've had with what they have here.
Okay, I'm gonna have to do some of this by memory here. Why don't you go first?
Okay, I will lead it off with by far the biggest name, which obviously I think we normally like to go away from, but I think he definitely deserves a nod. Ashton Kutcher is a strong first overall pick. Obviously, what was Punk'd? Punk'd was his show, right?
Yep.
Now married to Mila Kunis, who is also from Iowa, so they are the first couple of Iowa officially.
By the way, was not in No Strings Attached,
but was in
the sequel with Justin Timberlake, Friends with Benefits.
Well, yeah, not officially the sequel, but yeah, they were. So they should have just traded movies because that was
exactly.
What
it's
their
very confusing.
Was.
It's very confusing to begin with, but then when on top of Ashton actually being married to Mila Kunis, either way, he's out kicking the heck out of his coverage. He's not a good looking guy.
Yeah, really quickly, which one of those two did you like better? No Strings Attached,
movies or gals?
Movies.
Oh, Friends with Benefits is a better movie.
Which one is Friends with Benefits? Justin Timberlake?
That's JT. And JT, that's probably why it's better, because JT is just funnier than Ashton. But gun to my head, give me Portman over Kunis any day.
Okay, so you kind of didn't really answer the question. You kind of took one from each, but okay, that's fine.
Let's keep this moving here, Matt.
Yeah, why don't you go?
All right, so I'm in my two-hole here. I'm going to go with Tom Brokaw.
Good answer.
He is a meet the press guy, right? He's a newsman. He reports the news. Very famous. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup, but he's one of those guys that you hear the name. He's very famous. I was honestly hoping that you would take this one. On his Wikipedia page, it says Brokaw matriculated at the University of Iowa in Iowa City, Iowa, but dropped out after a year as he apparently failed to keep up his studies, in his words, majoring in beer and co-eds.
College.
So that's Tom Brokaw.
Total frat move there.
Boy, yeah.
More like Tom Brokaw.
That's right. Good one,
got
Matt.
It. Nice. You got two in a row, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go with So I had Ashton, so that was going to be my second one here. I'll go with Gene Wilder, mm-hmm. who is obviously Willy Wonka and Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. Just, all-time actor. Was also in Blazing Saddles, which is, if you haven't seen that, it's a movie from the 70s. That's very funny. Usually old movies like that, the old westerns aren't funny, but this one is funny. Highly recommend it. And obviously, Willy Wonka is just one of the best characters probably of our generation, or the generation before us, however that works. So, but he's a Hawkeye.
Love it. RIP, by the way, he is dead.
He died.
He is officially dead.
In Connecticut is where he died, man.
Oh, well, that's where I'm from. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe I knew him. Also, while we're talking about old funny movies, I want to give a little shout out to Airplane. Was on the movie channels this weekend. Caught that for a little bit. Just a hilarious movie. Haven't seen Blazing Saddles, but maybe we could do a little movie swap. That sounds like something that would be fun. I'll go with number four. I'm going to go with Terry O'Quinn. So he played John Locke in Lost. No.
You used this one already.
Okay. No, I didn't.
You definitely used this guy already.
Where did he go?
I don't remember. Virginia Tech, you're one of them. I don't know, Matt. You used this one already, though.
Actually, now that you say it, I kind of feel like I did use it again. Maybe he got his...
He probably transferred.
He attended Central Michigan and the University of Iowa. God damn it.
You used it for Central Michigan.
All right, no, so he's on the Central Michigan roster. That's fine, so I'll skip him. He doesn't count. Then I will go with Tennessee Williams. So he was in a... I'm sorry, he wasn't in. He's a very famous playwright. He wrote
Matt,
A Streetcar... Yeah,
Matt,
what's that?
I think you've also used Tennessee
Williams. I have not used Tennessee Williams.
No, look him up. I'm dead serious.
There's no way I've used Tennessee Williams too, unless, again, all like there's just physically no way. I think you know what? No, I didn't use Tennessee Williams. I used the actor who is also the Godfather, who was in one of Tennessee movies.
Okay, all right.
Tennessee
all
right. Williams is movie. Let me just make sure. He went to Missouri, so I can't use him next year. It actually doesn't say anything about – oh, no, then he moved to University of Iowa. Okay, yeah, we're good. Cool.
Hey, so Tennessee Williams. Hey, off the top of my head here, I know a couple of plays that he's written. One is A Streetcar Named Desire.
Correct.
And then two is Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
That's correct. And Glass Menagerie being the third. Those are three classics.
Little AP English for you there.
Well, right there. That's that BC education. I love it. Yeah, phenomenal playwright. Some really good stuff. Stella, again, Streetcar Named Desire. And then for number five – and I don't know what you're going to do for six here after this. So hopefully
I got two really good ones.
Okay, great. I'm going to go. This is a very specific name, very specific to the class of 2013. But Ann Patchett, she is the author of the book Run. More importantly, she was the convocation speaker for Boston College class of 2013, freshman convocation. Run was the book that they made everyone read, you know, the summer beforehand. I would say the average kid probably read what, like 7 pages of it.
Yeah, I missed that one, Matt.
Yeah, so it wasn't a very relevant speech. I think the year before had Barack Obama or something like that, which obviously is a better speaker than Ann Patchett.
Well, is it?
Take it easy. Yeah, it is. I mean, yeah, I think fundamentally it absolutely is. But you know, if you want Ann Patchett as your speaker, that's on you. So yeah, I guess that's six. Not the most relevant, but it is what it is. Or five. You got six.
I got six. Yeah, so I have two left. And when I said really good ones, these are pretty bad here, Matt. One is going to be D.B. Woodside, who is an African-American actor who looks a lot like Morris Chestnut, who is another actor. So D.B. Woodside, Matt, you're a 24 guy, right?
Yep.
He was – so remember David Palmer,
yes,
the president?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
He was his brother – his brother, Wayne Palmer.
Who also was president later. Spoiler alert.
Correct. Yeah, I think he had an affair with the chief of staff. I think it was season three, so I don't really remember. He's also in a bunch of other movies. I think he's in Like Mike, but that also could be the real Morris Chestnut. If you Google them both, there's a side-by-side
actually,
picture.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
He's also in Suits, which is, you know, recently. I'm a Suits guy. He's also in That Awkward Moment, which is one of my all-time favorite movies. It's Zac Efron, Michael B. Jordan, Miles Teller, and this guy, D.B. Woodside / Morris Chestnut. It's one of them.
We don't know.
So he's my sixth man. I also have Tom Arnold, who is from that yes, the best damn sports show, period.
Yeah, he deserves to be on there.
Which, that show, man, it was on forever, and it was just
John
a staple,
Sally. Yeah,
staple of our
great
childhood. If you know, ESPN and ESPN2 and ESPNU and everything else is on commercial, maybe you flip over to, what channel was it on? 52.
Fox Sports. It's Fox Sports.
It was like old school Fox Sports.
Yeah, so
that's right?
Comcast. Yeah. It's like Comcast. Yeah,
right.
The Comcast morphed into, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the whatever the Celtics played on.
Celtics,
right?
Yep.
That's exactly. What it was. Yeah,
yep.
The best damn sports
Fox
show
Sports
period.
Fox Sports New England, yeah.
So that's my honorable mention there.
Nice, I like it. And then the only other one I want to give a shout out to is Mildred Benson, who was the author of Nancy Drew. Everyone knows I'm a big mystery book guy, or at least I was growing up. So didn't read too many Nancy Drew books. I was more of an Encyclopedia Brown guy. But I respect the genre, respect the game.
All right. Well, I love the Hardy Boys.
Hardy Boys were good. Yep.
And there was also, who was the girl that her name was Camera and she took pictures?
Amelia Bedelia.
Nope. But good, okay. Good guess. No, there was a girl named that she went by Cam because she had a photographic memory. Camera, Cam.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about that offline.
Hang on. Cam Jansen.
There you go. Yeah. So.
And then there was one. There was someone named Keys too. Keys.
Yeah.
Had some.
We just can't do this all night, Matt. So Iowa comes in at 7-5. Is that where we're at right now? We're gonna talk Iowa.
Yeah. No. You gotta do travelability. We gotta do travelability.
Oh
here.
Shoot.
All right. I'll just go first. I'll keep it quick.
Yeah.
I'll go out of five RVs again. That's the rule. Everyone knows the score. 4.55. Which is very high, period. But you know, it is a bowl game, so I'm going to give you my negatives first and knock it, you know, down.
Matt, what's the weather going to be?
Well, I'm going to get there, Matt. That's item one, actually. So it could be in a warmer location. It's going to be in the 20s. It's going to be clear, which is nice. But last time we were at Yankee Stadium, I think it was in the 40s, if not low 50s, which is obviously much more comfortable. So it's going to be a very, very, very chilly Wednesday evening. Could be in a warmer location. That would help. I wish the fan base that we were playing against was a little more excited. It sounds like it's going to be kind of a half full stadium, with our half being the full one. So like that limits it a little bit. Obviously, you want a great atmosphere. Penn State, as much as I hate them and their fan base, they brought a really exciting atmosphere last time we were there. And then the other thing is I wish it was a little farther from Christmas. It does make the travel a little tough. You know, we kind of have to race back to the city to get to the game in time. So, you know, it would be nice if this was a 29th or even a 30th game. You can enjoy the holidays a little bit more and then kind of, you know, use it as a good way to cap off the week. But still, it's an iconic stadium in our backyard, Big Ten opponent. We're playing awesome football. They're playing pretty good football, so it should be a really good matchup. So still a very high score and you know, a bowl game 20 minutes from our house is tough to beat. So 4.55 is a good score.
Yeah, and that's a lot of negatives you listed. I kind of see it as, at the end of the day, we could have been in this in the bad boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. So I'll go anywhere outside of that. So for that reason, I'm going to bump it up to a 4.7. Obviously, it'd be great to be in a New Year's Six Bowl or, you know, in the playoff discussion. That's
we'll get there.
Higher, right? Yeah. So next year, obviously, we'll be higher. I got a buddy at work that went to University of Iowa and, you know, moved to Boston just, you know, out of the blue. And so he and I have kind of a rivalry going. He hates BC and I hate Iowa as a result. So we got big money on the game. It is too bad that, you know, Iowa isn't more into it. They're saying the same thing around. So, it's BC and it's New York. I'm not going to go. But, you know, whatever. We'll beat them. And if that's how we have to, you know, become rivals or at least a serious opponent for these people, then so be it. We'll get a bowl streak going, and you know, is what it is. But it's Yankee Stadium. It's in our backyard. All the reasons you said. It's going to be cold, but it's it should be a fun day. I've been to one Yankees game out there. Yankee game, right?
Yeah, they don't say the S in New York.
That's right.
And this is a horrible city. Let's be clear. It's dirty. It's loud. But the single worst thing about this city is that they do not put the S's on the end of their game. They go to the Ranger game, the Met game, the Yankee game. That is infuriating. You're seeing multiple
Islander
players.
Game.
You're seeing, so either you're seeing multiple players, so I'm seeing the Yankees play a game, or it's possessive. Whose game is it? It's the Yankees game. There is no grammatical or fundamental explanation of why they would drop the E and just refer to it as Yankee game. It bothers me every single time I have anything to do with sports in this city. So thank you for bringing that up and you know, raising my heart rate higher than it needs to be right now.
Quick question, because I've only been there once. Is there like a Yaki Way equivalent at near the stadium, or is it like the sort of thing where you hang out in the city all day and then you take the train in?
No. There's a stretch of bars. So there's definitely some good bars. BC's renting out one of the bigger ones. It's kind of a ripoff, so I don't think we're going to do that. But it's like a much grosser area, I guess, than Yawkey Way and Lansdowne, but there are still six or seven good bars, so we'll find one of those. I'm sure Iowa did rent out one of them as well, so we'll go to one of the ones that is unoccupied. But I think our plan is to head out there, you know, relatively early in the afternoon, so we can just not deal with, you know, a train delay or anything like that causing us to miss the opening. I think we dealt with that a little bit last time we were here, so this will be a more leisurely afternoon.
Got it. But hey, either way, it should be a heck of a game. And again, a lot of worse places we could end it up, whether it be Shreveport, whether it be, all the other, where else were we supposed to go? I forget, but.
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
we could have gone anywhere.
Exactly.
And the fact that we're in New York and it's a big time game, you know, we're psyched about that. As far as the game itself, Iowa obviously is a pretty good football team. They, their biggest win was they beat Ohio State by 30 points.
Kept them out of the playoff.
Cost them a playoff appearance, which is obviously, you know, pretty impressive. And really, that they have five losses, but they've kept it close with pretty much everyone. I think they lost big to Wisconsin. The only bad loss they've had was to Purdue, who isn't that bad. So they've had a pretty solid year. They're very similar to us. Our only bad loss, I guess, would be to Wake, right? So we sort of mirror them from that standpoint. We don't have a big win like that on our resume, but I think that, you know, like them, we're very good defensively. We have a couple standout players on both sides of the ball. So I think from a matchup standpoint, everyone's saying it's going to be 3-0 game putt fest, and it very well could be. It has nothing to do with the offense. It's just these are two of the best defensive teams in the country.
Yeah, for me, it's just the thing that stands out is just how solid they are all the way around. They don't do anything great, but they really don't do anything that bad. Sagarin, again, at 7-5, has them as a 22nd ranked team, which for a 7-5 team, I think says a lot to be 22nd. It shows, you know, that you're really not, you know, you're not getting blown out. You're playing good teams, whatever, compared to us at 33. So I think we are very comparable there, which I think is going to make for a good matchup. And I also think it's fair that they're 3-point favorites with that said. In terms of their play style, they have a pro style offense, but they are stronger in the air. Their, you know, run game is much more of a grounded out, bruising run game, as you'd expect from an Iowa Big Ten team. They have a strong physical offensive line, but they're only averaging, you know, 3.7 yards per carry. So they're not going to be this explosive, speedy offense. The one thing I will say is that they're sloppy with the ball. So they are 120th in FBS with losing 13 fumbles this year. So that's just about last place. So, you know, that's definitely some place that we need to take advantage on, especially on a cold day. Everyone will be a little bit raw. It's obviously harder to hold on to the football. And then the other thing is they allowed 22 sacks on the year. So hopefully that's good news for ACC snub Zach Allen. He'll have a little chip on his shoulder and be ready to eat. And obviously Ty Schwab and you know, the boys.
And maybe
it's a good opportunity there.
Surprise Landry appearance. Never going to happen, but you know,
oh, by the way, he's in the Senior Bowl as well. We didn't mention him either.
He's not playing
Bowl.
Though, is he?
Well, I mean, we don't know. But yeah, theoretically not.
Yeah, I don't think anyone, if you're a top 10 pick, right, you're not going to play in
the
bowl. Well,
he's slid, so that's one. Yeah, I can see the bowl, but I think the Senior Bowl is still, you know, it's almost like a combine. It's people aren't going, you know, full speed for risk of injury, but still showing off what they are going to do. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hope he does. Obviously, I don't want him to regret that he stayed around another year, but anyways.
It's incredible how high they still have him going.
Right.
You know, he has not been good at all this year when he's been in there, and obviously had missed the entire second half of the year, but he's still, I don't know what the most recent projections are, but top 12 at least. So, but you know, to your point, so Iowa leads the country in picks. I think they have 19 to BC's 18.
In getting interceptions, like physically
correct.
Throwing them.
How do you want me to say this more clearly, Matt? They intercept the ball from when the quarterback throws it. Their defense intercepts it. They have a guy named Josh Jackson, who is not the Virginia Tech quarterback, or he's also not Charlie Conway.
That was my follow-up. Okay.
So he has 7 picks, tied with the nation, with the lead in the country with Lucas Dennis, your boy, LBSD.
LBS, LB,
B-D,
yeah, there you go.
LBDS.
No, LBSD.
Big swing. All right, that's right. Yeah. So it's kind of a battle within the game here is who's going to come out with the most picks in the country. They are susceptible to the run. Obviously, that bodes well or bodes poorly for them if they're playing against AJ Dillon, which they are. So I like Dillon to have a big game. You know, you got obviously Wade going, which people seem to forget. You know, we don't have our starting quarterback. It is going to be Wade.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take that into consideration. So,
but I love what they did for Wade against, you know, it's with Syracuse and you know, even when we saw them as Louisville as well. So I have plenty of confidence in him. It's for me, it's more a question of Loeffler and his game plan. You know,
I think Wade
can execute if you give him the right plan.
If you're Kirk Ferentz and you have a month to defend against it, I'm worried about that. If he can only do bootlegs, which we've discussed, you know, I don't know how you defend that necessarily, what you do differently, but you do something, you send the ends off the block or whatever the expression is and just blitz the heck out of them. But tell you what, they have a 5-game bowl lose streak, and I think that comes down to coaching. And, you know, at the end of the day, I like our guy, Matt. I like Coach D'Azio. We obviously had a big bowl game last year. We kind of threw the kitchen sink at Maryland and went out with guns blazing. So if they do something similar, you know, I certainly like our chances.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And honestly, last year's bowl game gives me some confidence here as well. I think we saw that, you know, Loeffler and Daz were definitely ready to open up the playbook and kind of shoot everything we you know, had at Maryland. Obviously, we saw that more in the regular season this year, which was great, and I'm very happy we saw that change. But I certainly expect more of that, if not, you know, getting even more aggressive in the bowl game. These guys know they have nothing to lose. It's we've had a good year, and we have an incredibly bright future. Let's go out and have some fun. Let's let the boys loose a little bit. The other thing I'm thinking, too, quite frankly, is, you know, I do think the lack of excitement from the fan base is I do think that affects the players a little bit. I think, you know, a lot of them probably had their hopes set on national playing an SEC team. They're probably not thrilled about having to go to 20-degree New York City against Boston College. You know, that's not ideal for them. So you hope they're going to be a little checked out. Obviously, the atmosphere in the stadium should be, you know, pretty pro-BC and quiet on the Iowa side. And I think that will definitely help us. I'll roll right into my predictions. Again, like I said, they're solid all around. They do make some mistakes that we need to take advantage of. We really need to keep our run game going and have Wade be Wade. But I think we keep this momentum going. We really have shown no signs of slowing down, with the one exception of the injury game with NC State. But I think we keep the playbook open. The boys keep everything moving. I think this is, they have a lot to prove, especially with a lot of them, getting their ACC recognition. They want to keep that going and build the hype for next year. So I think we win 31-21. We don't completely blow up the scoreboard with 40-50 like we've been doing a couple teams this year. But I really feel good about our chances, and I think we send everyone home happy.
Listen, it comes down to coaching, and Coach Adazio, you have a month to prepare. I think that he's just going to keep the momentum going. He's going to outsmart, the other side here. I love this guy. I think that they are just.
It's getting uncomfortable.
I was looking at his transcript from his press conference today. I don't know how anyone doesn't like this guy. He just says all the right things. He's really dumb, but like. He's just the ultimate football guy.
Him and Ty Schwab are just a match made in heaven.
They sure are, Matt. The Eagles send Coach Daz out with a W. Eagles 24, Hawkeyes 23. I think it's going to be a close one, though.
All right, wow, that's a little close for comfort, but two Eagles wins, and I don't think we've been ever wrong this year beyond our original prediction of 10-2, but at the same time, I think we recounted last episode that wasn't that wrong. So thanks again for listening all season. We'll probably be back with a recap of this game, as well as intermittently throughout the basketball season, as we highlight our first return to the tournament in like 10 years. If you're in the Bronx and New York on next Wednesday, definitely look for us. We'll be at a few bars. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram to keep an eye on all of our game day activities. But otherwise, it's looking ahead, and I think we got a great chance to end the season on a high note next week.
It's always a great day to be a dude.